not going to go into reasons for non-connectivity and storage. So I will just focus on those areas that are really unique to the province. Of course, I will start with the organogram. Say we have deliberately indicated we have the provincial manager there who has been appointed with effect from the 1st of July. And as it has been indicated on the yellow blocks, we deliberately left those blocks to indicate vacant. Because you will notice that out of 5 districts, you only have 2 permanently appointed district directors. That is for Johannesburg and Botswana. The other 3 are vacant. However, there are measures in place to make sure that we have officials taking care of the districts who are double dipping. But we thought it's important, and also to indicate that the director for Johannesburg Metro, who is Ms. Mkhulise, will be retiring with effect from next year, February. So we are less than 6 months. In no time, we will only be left with 1 district director in the entire province. The demographics as of 2019, now at Gauteng, the total for Gauteng is 13.5 million. And from a distance, I know when we talk of the resources for Gauteng, people might think that we have enough to be working with. But if you look at the actual challenges that are facing the province, it is not necessarily so, but we will later talk on to that. The district footprint, as have been indicated, in Tshwane, we have 40 offices comprising of the large offices, medium offices, and small offices. Can I be allowed not to go to those details of how many per district, with the understanding that members of the committee have copies, and if there's a need, we will come back to that. The next is civic affairs. We have decided to put on the vehicle there, particularly as a starting point for civic services, that in the financial year 2018-19, we have branded our cars with the early birth registration message to make sure that as part of advocacy, we are able to get the message to as many citizens, as many residents of Gauteng as possible. A summary of birth registration, that's at a high level. As Gauteng, our annual target for 2018-19 was 188,206, and we have overachieved by 443. But I need to indicate that it was after much strain, particularly in the last quarter, where we had to get assistance from head office, as well as our officials having to work over the weekend. And yeah, the challenges, I would specifically dwell on this. Connectivity has been spoken to, online verification, no appointment of permanent staff at most health facilities. And with that, the proposal that we are making there is that we must look at having permanent staff at health facilities, but also to say after hours and during the week, what are the options of having health officials being an extension of home affairs after hours to make sure that we also do not miss on the beds. So as it was highlighted, as to what are other departments that can be engaged, and I think there's an opportunity there for us to engage Department of Health and see how best we can capture all the beds that are happening in our hospitals. I think all other things, unavailability of biological fathers, we have spoken to that. Ignorance by parents, which results in LRB. I think we need to talk about that. We are under siege as a province. If you look at the statistics for the late registration of birth, which we are inundated with, and as members, maybe as it, you might also be aware of some complaints, and we will talk to that slide. Unavailability of office space in some health facilities. Yes, there are health facilities that have given us just enough to have a table and a desk, and you find that such facilities do have high volume. For example, I will talk of Ramukunupi, clinic, which is in Katlehong. The clinic has a high number of beds that are occurring, and we are aware also that there's nothing, it's not reluctance on the part of Department of Health, it's just that they also do not have their space even for their own business. The summary of smart card issuance, we had a total, and if you look at the bottom the rows, we have total for office and for banks. This is the only province, with the exception of Western Cape, that has banks in them, and we have 13 banks, whilst Cape has only one bank. Now, as a result of that, if you look at the total offices, annual target for our offices was 725760, and we have been able to achieve 738646, which means we have overachieved by 12,886. But if you zoom into banks, banks alone were targeted at 154560, and we performed 69778, which gave us a variance of 84,782. As a result of that, we find ourselves in a red. And I need to indicate, Chairperson and the House, that we are still in the same situation when it comes to BEP. If we are to come back again and give a presentation for housing, we are likely to be in the same space. And of course, there are suggestions that we are making. So the issue here is around, and it's not like banks are not having clients. We are receiving a lot of passport applications at the banks. And once the person is in front of you, the system cannot allow you, for example, amongst other challenges, to edit and convince this person, why don't you also apply for a smart card? So we find ourselves to be not achieving as a result of the banks. The reason why we have decided to go into the details of smart card in particular per office was just to indicate to the House that we are found wanting, because of the performance of Johannesburg region in particular, Johannesburg district. And if you look at slide 12, Alexandra, for example, has been consistently throughout since they have connected, they have been consistently achieving their target. But if you look at our biggest challenge in the Johannesburg region is Johannesburg and Maponya Mall. Maponya Mall, for the financial 2018-2019, they have underachieved by 24,689. And the reason for that, the aim with the Maponya Mall office was that it's a dedicated smart card office. As a result, there is no other service, so we are having counters just dedicated for. And if you look at the taxi route in Soweto, people will rather prefer to go to Harrison Street, which is in town, or even go to 707 at Orlando, rather than coming to Maponya, when we have hoped that we will be able to catch all clients that are coming to the mall. So now there are plans, of course, by the province to say, how are we going to deal with the challenges that we are experiencing at Maponya? The same goes for Johannesburg. Johannesburg is one of the first offices that were connected in Gauteng, and we are having a lot of counters for smart card. And as earlier indicated by Patrick, that the method that we are using to target for smart card, we do it per counter. So a counter a day should be 28 applications. So the more counters in the office, the higher the target. So as you can see, there are no problems in other regions. Tshwane is doing very well. So is Ekurhuleni, West Rand, and Sidibeng. Of course, we are having some issues with Sidibeng, but nothing to really write home about. It's something that we can manage. Our biggest issues with SmartCard are the banks, as well as the two offices that I have mentioned, but the executive from the province has already came up with plans on how are they going to assist the two offices to meet their target. Uncollected smart ID card, I agree with the speaker who suggested that we look at the lifespan of these. As at the end of July 2019, we had 54,187 uncollected smart cards and ID books 4,307. And there we are seeing strategies. Partnership with COCTA for provincial ID campaign. I think for our benefit, the MEC in Gauteng, Councillor Lebogang Maile for COCTA, has committed to an ID campaign, which gives us an advantage as Home Affairs to piggyback on that and make sure that we extensively communicate the message of collection of identity. Intensifying partnership with municipalities to use their communication platforms for advocacy purposes. You will see as when we do the stock take of the stakeholder forums. There is a very good relationship with the city of Ekurhuleni in particular. If you go onto their website as the city, you will see message about home affairs, why the need for people to register their birth and to also collect. And we are saying if we can, in the midst of all the budgetary constraints that we are faced with, if we can piggyback on other government communication platforms, we will really go a long way. Submission of call letters, I think all others have been mentioned by other provinces except for five, which talks about utilization of local print and electronic media in collaboration with the GCIS. The next one is on late registration, as I have already alluded. We are under siege, and why do I say we are under siege with the late registration of birth? We are experiencing a high number of applications, which results in senior managers having to be a minimum of 2 days in a week. They are out dealing with issues of late registration and having to knock at 8 o'clock. With the understanding of the stringent measures that we have put in place as a department, the assumption was we are having a lot of foreign nationals who are taking advantage of late registration of birth. But the experience has been we still have genuine, ordinary South Africans who are still undocumented. So we need to prioritize this from time to time. And I am aware as a province that we also have a backlog in as far as how long does it take for one to. And the concern that was raised to say, why are we not sticking? We are one of those provinces, of course, who can be accused of not sticking to their appointments as we have given people. It depends on the complexity of the case. Some cases, of course, there are people who are misrepresenting, and you need to probe, and it's not something, unfortunately, when we invite, we will give you time, but it's not easy for us to always adhere to the times that are given. Correctly said, it causes an inconvenience as well as people who are sick who need to eat from time to time. Those have been noted. The unabridged certificates, the reason why we have statistics on the unabridged as well as the amendments rectification, it is primarily because we are getting a lot of queries as managers. We are also part of the call center in the sense that the number of queries that we get in as far as those are concerned, it's really a challenge. But how we are also supporting as part of the youth program in the province, we have requested that we be given a permission to go assist back office in drawing those records so that we can at least make a dent with the numbers that we are faced with. Slide 19 is on the mobile unit information. We felt it was important that we give a summary of what has happened to the 10 mobile units that we had. And as you can see, the big mobile units have gone through for refurbishment. They are currently stationed at one office, which is Springs office. Everything that's written refurbishment there is at Springs office. All these other small mobile units, they have not been refurbished. But even those that are refurbished, they are not ready to be used because the light capture system still has to be tested in those trucks. We have made a comment below there that says in 2019, just before the elections, there was a new mobile unit that was deployed in the province, and I need to indicate that a mobile unit is not connecting. It is currently at Soweto. Correctly asked, I think there was a parliamentary question where we were asked that Orange Farms, for example, they are looking for support in a form of mobile unit. Unfortunately, at this point, there isn't much that we can do except to liaise with the stakeholders and make an appointment for them to come through to an office, which we are able to do over Saturdays, of course, as and when there is availability of staff, because even in that instance, we do not have money to pay them overtime. But from time to time, we do have offices that are opening in the province. the stakeholder for the state of the stakeholder for us in the province. It must be mentioned that initially the idea was to head these forums at a district level, at a municipality level. But there has been some challenges, and it has been a struggle, for example, with Tshwane in particular, to have such a forum existing. The previous Mr. Masaung, who was there then, a provincial manager, have tried. We are still engaging to see how best we can do with this. But in city of Johannesburg, because of the struggles also to have these forums working at a municipal level, we have then decided to focus on the regions. And in city of Joburg, for example, we only have Alexandra and Soweto that are effective, as for others are not. In Ekurhuleni, we are struggling to have at a municipal level in the office of the speaker, but the responsibility has now been taken by the mayor's office, and I must say that that partnership is really working wonders. I need to indicate that all these in some municipalities, what we are going, because we are just about to go present the state of the uncollected IDs to the speakers in Gauteng. One of the suggestions that we want to raise with them is for us to identify the forums that are already in existence, that are working, that which we can join instead of us just looking at this separate entity, because I think that's why the difficulty to have these forums working after so long. The war on Q, it was very critical, Chairperson in the House, that and honourable members, so that we as Gauteng talk to the war on Q as a priority for the minister. You might have, there are issues in Gauteng with queues that are cut even before the closing time, and that is basically as a result of us not being able to pay them over time after. So what do we do? Like one of the speakers has indicated that there's so much that we know in an office that we can serve. So what happens in the morning? The office manager will go outside, make a determination of how many do you have a queue, issue them with a card, indicate to people that you might wait, but take note that we are likely not to, which is an unfortunate situation. But under the constraints that we are faced with as a department, there isn't much that we can do. Now, one of the strategies that we have employed in the previous financial year as part of War on Q was to procure the screens that you are seeing there, because one of the complaints that you would get is nobody talks to us, and just after the office manager or the floor walker has gone inside the office after making whatever announcement, you are coming and you think nobody is talking. So it's easier for us to update information on those electronic screens to say we are offline or whatever important message. And I need to indicate that those screens have been procured currently. They are at Soweto, Randburg, Roodepoort, Eden Vale, Bronkhorstspruit, Sidibeng, and Acacia. What we are doing now, we have identified other offices for the financial year 2019-2020, because the aim eventually is to have all these screens in all our offices. Some of the interventions there was to have floor walkers appointed. I know that we might be thinking that it's an obvious, why do you think appointing a floor walker is an achievement, because that's expected. We have changed the strategy after the executive has been visiting offices, because we have identified those offices where we are receiving a lot of complaints. After we have visited them, we realized that we should not just have a floor walker for the sake of having a floor walker, but a floor walker who is informed of the services of the department, who has a good client relations, and the list is endless. And I think we have made inroads in that area. And we are saying we do not just want anybody. Yes, from time to time, other officials can do floor walking, but it's mandatory that an office manager should take account of floor walking, like you would see as it happens with supervisors in banks. So we're really trying to upgrade the floor walking on that score. We have also procured PA system, public announcement systems, particularly, we have only done so far for Alexandra and for Soweto office, because sometimes you go, you address people, and you are not so audible. So we also looking at having all the PA systems in those offices that are forever crowded as a strategy. War on Cues, we have indicated there what we are doing as a province to make sure that we try and lessen the number of issues in as far as the time it takes for people being in queues. For example, we know you might be in a queue in some offices. There's one queue for life capture applications, which is a passport and a smart card. But from experience, we know that it's easier to collect a passport as opposed to a smart card. So we would take out those people, take out their numbers, open another counter for issuance of tickets, just for us to facilitate. So as we are going now for the school holidays, we know Gauteng, even those offices that we are saying are not necessarily experiencing high volumes, are forever being inundated with the demands for service. So we forever, from time to time, we have to come up with a different plan to make sure that we address the concerns of our people. The strategy on war on queue is continuing. Just to say, in short, we are really concerned about the issues that we are receiving and the number of complaints of people who have been turned from offices without service, without being serviced. Under immigration, it's a highlight of the performance for 2018-19. You will note that previously, even if you look at our business plans, the target for IMS, they are 100%. But we decided to attach numbers to these so that we also increase levels of accountability from officials and that there is a value for money for their employment. So our target for 2018-19 for employers charged for the province was 832, and we have only been able to do 483. So we had a variance of 349. And the issue would be, why in Gauteng would you struggle to charge employers that are employing illegal foreigners? When you get to court, court speaks evidence, and you might, all what we do for them is to go, if somebody, you go in a shop and somebody was saying, no, actually I'm not working here, I was just coming to do something. You don't have anything tangible, and those cases are likely to be thrown out of court. Of course, it's not an excuse for why we are not meeting the target. We really believe that something different can be done, and we are really focusing on IMS for this financial year. Transgressors charged as Gauteng province, 2018-19, we have, our target was 2,088, and we have done 12,536. So we have overachieved it, it's obvious. I think vicinity to Lindela could also be the reason why such numbers, and of course migration issues is a real issue in Gauteng. General inspections as a province for 2018-19, our target was 2,448, and we have been able to do 2,760, so we have overachieved it by 312. And I must indicate that it's just numbers, it could mean, but wow, our focus for the new financial year is the impact, because it also does not help for us to go inspect, take matters to court, and for people to get a fine, even the very employers to get a fine of 1,500 or 3,000 at most, is really not driving. And this matter has been raised at a prof joint level. Direct deportation, as a province in the financial year 2018-19, we have been able to directly deport 95 people. Transfers to Lindela, we have transferred 8,171. Fraudulent marriages for Gauteng for the previous financial year, we have done 210. Cases that were referred to inspectorate was 12,585, and we have been able to finalize at the end of the financial year 12,483. Number of inspectorate officials, very important. We are facing there's a lot of pressure in the province in as far as demand and supply is concerned. And that slice is trying to zoom into the capacity in the province. In Gauteng, approximately you have 33,000 SAPS members in the entire province against 126 immigration officials. So from a distance, you might think that 126 is a high number compared to other provinces, but looking at the challenges, of course, that is just a drop in an ocean. And vehicles allocated for 126 people, it's 45 vehicles. And we have given an allocation according to the district. For Tshwane Metro, we're only having 11 cars, Johannesburg Metro 12, Ekurhuleni 11, the list goes on. And it must be indicated, in the previous financial year, the project that we have undertaken as a province was that we returned our GG vehicles and replaced them with a GP, because for a month we were paying over $1 million just to lease cars. So towards the end of the financial year, we were really faced with challenges with the vehicles, because rather we go the GP route, where we will just be concerned, we will be dealing with the maintenance rather than just throwing $1 million in the sea every month. It has been a painstaking exercise, but definitely eventually it will be to our favor. We thought it was important to also zoom into the special operation on the 7th of August in CD to Johannesburg. And the outcome of that special operation, as you can see, the last column at Lindela, the total number of detainees, it was 659, releases was 340, and I need to indicate, if you were to ask an update as of now, you might find different figures, and I will give a reasons for that. So at Lindela, it was 80 Malawians, 93 Zimbabweans, Mozambique 41, Nigeria 28, Ethiopia 8, Bangladesh 5, DRC 1, Tanzania 3, Zambia 2, Ghana 3, Kenya 1, Uganda 1, which totals 268. And we have been able to successfully deport from Lindela 41 Mozambicans and 88 Zimbabweans. So the rest, 142, we are still waiting for procurement of transport for them to be moved from there. And I need to indicate to the question that was saying, why not other nationalities? I think this has been a concern from previous leaderships. Of course, that's the benefit of being the last presenter. The concern has been that from the previous, why does it look like we are only looking at SADC? If you were to look at the initial people that get detained, we have a number of nationalities. But you find that a lot of Nigerians, a lot of whoever, because the law allows us to detain them for 48 hours. So within that 48 hours, people will bring their valid documents. So as and when we get their documents and we verify them, we are bound to release. As a result, when you look at the reports that we will be bringing to you, you will never see the nationalities of these releases. But maybe it is important that from time to time we just zoom into those. But there are also other issues. If you were to look at representation in court, who gets legal representation? SADC is unlikely to be represented in court, but you will get your East Africa being represented and your European cases. And I can assure you, from an operations point of view, it's very rare that you will find Europeans and Asians without documents. Whether they are legitimate or whether they were genuinely found, that is something else. But that is the reality that we are dealing with. Immigration, okay. Letters of good cause. This is another area for Gauteng, where we are receiving a number of them. In 2018-19, we have received a total of 1,840. We have approved 1,063. A number rejected was 777. Human resource management, I'm not going, okay. The total establishment for the province as of 1st of August 2019 is 1,257. And I need to indicate that the attrition rate for 2018-19, we lost 91 posts. And for 2019-20, for the first quarter, we have lost, okay, we've lost 20. To date, we have lost 22, and cadets, we have 10. What got me stuck there is because it's four for the second quarter, and for the first quarter, it was 18 posts just in one quarter. So we are hoping that the moratorium on filling of vacancies will be resolved soon so that we are able to replace people as and when they leave the department. Provincial equity, I am not going to talk much to that. As indicated, the colors, we have a total of 40, Indians we have 8, and whites we have 57 in the entire province, and Africans we are having 1,160. Employment equity representation, but it was important that we also zoom into the age analysis. We are an aging organization, I mean an aging province, let me not talk about organization. If you look at the age analysis there, 55 and above, we are 157. So if people were to go for the dispensation that DPSA has recommended, it would mean if all were to be approved, you would be left 157. And already between 40 and 49, you have 479. Look at the youth. We only have 451, and 18 to 29, we are having 64. And I must say, as a province, we are giving this area the attention that it deserves to make sure that we bring our youth on board as part of succession plan and everything. So we are taking them to all forums where we are represented to make sure that we build enough capacity. Attrition rate, I think I have spoken to that, that 21 there is a miscalculation. It should be 22, but it is the 18 and the 4 that we have spoken about versus the 91 posts that we have lost in 2018-19. Analysis of staff patterns, we thought that the importance of this slide was just to say it might also be talking to when people are burn out, then it might be an analysis of the impact of filling in of vacancies versus the demand that we are faced with. Employee wellness program, I'm not going to really bother you with, not really bother, but there is a lot every month. There are some packed activities and skills development. There are a number of training programs that we have set. We are planning also for 2018-19-20 to also make sure that we have an impact, particularly on IMS, the quality of reports that we present post and so forth. So we are looking at those issues. Labor relations cases, we had we have misconducts. We have when you look at 17-18, we had a number of cases, 29, and the outcome only 3 finalized. So you will see that the progress there. Our numbers are very low. Of course, it's also as a result of capacity and us having to source chairpersons even outside the department, and that is a measure that we are employing to make sure that we move at speed with cases, knowing that holding, of course, we also have an issue with allegations on corruption. Counter-corruption cases, even though we do not have these it's not at a provincial level, but we thought it was important that we also talk to these. There are allegations across the board on issues of fraudulent issuance of birth certificate and even interference with the smart cards, which have been brought to the attention of the senior management. Finance and administration, the 2018-19, we have overspent by 3.91%, of course, which is above the acceptable 2% according to PFMA. The next slide, budget, the analysis there was that the leasing of vehicles amount have been reduced as a province is procuring. I think I have spoken to that we are, as the lease expires, we hand over the vehicles so that we can procure GP vehicles and just deal with maintenance issues. But other than that, we are in line with the spending, the expected linear spending. Asset management and payment of invoices for financial, for asset verification as of 31st May 2019, we were at 98% compliance. With that 2%, the question could be, what happened to those assets? You would have, of course, there are some assets that could not be fined, but a bulk of those assets are assets that are either still appearing, which must exhaust a certain period before they can be taken off the asset register in line with PFMA. And we have been able to pay in 2019-14, there are 98% receipts that we have been able to pay within 30 days, and there are four receipts that were paid after, and the reason for those receipts, it was the date stamp that was put, the date stamp that, that was used. The service provider used a different date on the invoice as compared to the actual date when the goods were delivered. So as a result, the official miscaptured when capturing those. But those four receipts belong. It is the same. It is an invoice to the same service provider. Revenue collection. It was important for us to zoom into this as Gauteng, because we are at risk, as you will see, the state of security in the province. One of the priorities in the financial year 2019-20 is to say, let us maximize the utilization of POS and avoid a cash collection to minimize the risks of us being targeted as offices. And as indicated there, we have just indicated the seven top offices that are using POS: Edenvale, Bronkhorst Street, Acacia, Nigel, Randlecap, and Krugersdorp. And the reason why we wanted to highlight that there are socio-economic reasons in other offices, of course not in all, that could be the reasons why people are not using the cards in those various offices. And challenges on the POS, the technicality part of it, has also been indicated on the other side. But we have committed as a province to improve on the utilization, as currently we are at 22% versus the 78% on cash. The fleet management, it's just zooming onto the new fleet, which we have spoken about, what we have saved. We have saved 11 million so far on just the leasing, and we have used that to procure the departmental cars. State-owned building, very important, is that we have state-owned buildings, that is the slide on that, and we are seeing the analysis. Most state-owned buildings are not always as compliant, and DPW always stating unavailability of budget for major repairs and maintenance. I will talk about this when we're talking about challenges in the province. The lease period, on the comment there, you will notice that we are having 25 leases, and out of those 25, 17 of those are month-to-month, meaning the lease have expired. So we just month-to-month. As a result of that, we are struggling to get cooperation of the landlords to repair or even to maintain those buildings, because you can't make changes to your building when you're not sure of the future of the contract that you have with the department. Only 4 out of 25 are still valid. There are 2 that are waiting for bid adjudication. We have done a selection, and that is the Benoni office and Boxback. And then one office, which is Maponya Mall, is being run by DPSA, so there is no standalone disagreement on that. So, and this is an issue, of course, looking at the incident of the Lisbon Bank building, and stakeholders are really putting us under a lot of pressure. We will also talk to the recommendation under challenges. Security services, as explained by other officers, correctly said, and I would love the members to take time, maybe even after Chairperson, just to look at the number of CCTVs. Johannesburg, for example, our offices being in a risky province that we are in, if you look at how many offices that have X-ray machines, basic X-ray machines, and then the CCTV and the deployment of security, and as indicated, of course, we are also affected the same that we only have security for 6 days. On Sundays, we do not have. And I need to indicate in this particular instance that we are hit hard as a province when it comes to burglaries and stuff. Jemison was the latest burglary that we experienced in July. In July, and 34,000 cash was taken out of the office because it was awaiting the... So it is because of those risks that we are saying we need to maximize POS and try to upgrade. And as part of the of addressing these issues here of alarm systems and everything, we have said as a province, we are still awaiting the quotations to check. With the little budget that we have, are there offices that we can prioritize, even if it means one office in the municipality? Because so far we know that Ekurhuleni it's easy to get into our office. Provincial challenges. Target setting for the banks, so that needs to be reviewed. The finalization of the triple key, the public-private partnership with banks will help as they are going to take over the management of banks. So at least that target that we have spoken about on the banks will be off the province. Disrupted services due to cable theft. A number of times also we were also affected, so we are saying IT to look at alternative solutions. Demands of service versus resources, which results in queues being cut contrary to published working hours. That needs to be bolded. It is a serious problem, and that over and above methods that we employ as a province, we still find ourselves having to cut some queues at some point. As a result, we have made an appeal to the department just for those peak seasons to avail overtime for our officials. Budget constraints versus inspectorate needs in the province as well as war on queue. The inspectorate, it is becoming a problem. If you look at the state of the province by the premier, and even at local level, the emphasis is on immigration matters. And looking at the capacity that we have just spoken about, it's not easy. Over the weekends, we are even attending meetings over the weekend. The provincial commissioner Mawela, who is meeting with the CTF, we have to be there. Our official, we are really strained as IMS. Non-compliance of age buildings, lack of cooperation from the landlord, which we have spoken about, and as a solution there, we are saying public works to be held to account so that leases are signed on time and ensuring compliance of the terms of these lease agreements with landlords. Sufficient security measures which result in offices experiences losses and disrupted service due to burglaries in offices, and so far we had Rudeport, Benoni, Jemison, Springs and Boxback. That's where we have had, and we are saying all these high-risk offices to be prioritized and budget availed to upgrade the security measures. No deployment of security in offices on Sundays, which have already been spoken to by other provinces. That brings us to the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Gauteng, for your presentation. I'm going to allow honorable members to comment, ask question, and follow up, including the three reports, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and Gauteng. We'll give them 10 minutes to respond before we close. It's now 25 past 1, as we have requested that by 1:45 at least we may have to conclude. Honourable members, Honourable Mbambo, Honourable Kanyile, Honourable Ross, Honourable Papa.
Well, thank you, question. Well, I think let me first. I don't know whether it's more of a question, but it's a provocation. That the report essentially tells us that the department is going to be with time, and this speaks to all three provinces, be rendered incapable. In fact, the problems of this department seem to be, you know, piling up, because you have a moratorium, you have people who are aging, you have people who are resigning naturally so, but you can't fill those posts. So, you know, this department is very important because every single person that is in this country is their client. Every single person, I don't care who you are, for as long as you're within this country, in fact, even outside is right, right? So that's why for me, I want to hear, and the minister is not here today, and I can't take a jab at him because of what has befallen him. But the reality is we need to hear this. And this is found in the lack of leadership that is of this country. There's no hope like that these guys are inspiring. There isn't. There's a crisis in our hands. People are dying, are killing each other. You haven't heard from the leadership of this country. This department, if they are to speak openly and not to speak as if, you know, in a sort of, you know, defensive reporting, I'd rather they speak openly and lay, you know, the crisis bare for all of us to know that this is the challenge that they're faced with. And it's open and, you know, and welcome that she then says to us, look, we are really stretched. We're working even on days that ordinarily we ought to be taking a break, but we can't do that because we don't have relievers, or we have to work up to a certain amount of hours because we can't be paid further than that. All those things don't have an implication in a collapse of a department. They have an implication on a collapse of a country. Leave these things as superficial, but essentially they go to human relations. On the street, people don't have essential documents, or their essential documents are, you know, delayed for this reason or the other, you know, and therefore their lives are disrupted like that. So we're not talking about a license, maybe. I mean, even a license is important. But the very thing that confirms you, it's like we're playing, we're into or back to the sort of setup of apartheid. I don't know, man. Look, we can go into this. I think the presentations generally, all three of them, there could be a better way to write these presentations. The throwing of tables, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the people who prepare them can hear this. There has to be a narrative that speaks to the tables, comrades. So you have a table, you have a narration on each point. Like, so we mustn't figure it out. We're working so hard to figure out the numbers. That's why we say, no, but what do you, you must explain to us, when you say target, how do you come up to a target? What defines a target, right? So you say to us, no, this is the target, and then you say, this is the actual. When you say target, you targeted, the issuing of smart cards. One, do you mean, you woke up and said, we are targeting to reach so many people to get smart cards, or you're saying for every person, that's number two, for every person who has applied for a smart card, that is our target. Our target is that we must reach all of the people who have applied. No, that's not what I'm saying you're saying. I'm saying those things must be made clear. We can't spend time explaining what you are explaining what you're trying to say on paper. The paper must speak. And then only then do we come back. Because we spend so much time debating Is this what you mean? You know, those kinds of things. I think they could, it could be better written. I don't know. Maybe you must employ us to assist you or sit with you to assist each other. It's how we are receiving it. Like, this is how I'm receiving it. I really feel for you, because this is, for me, at a high level of, you know, the leadership that should be directing this. There is a crisis in this, in this regard. You are part of the security of this country. There can't be a day or an hour there is where the offices are not mended. Okay, the money is something else, but people's documents are there. You know, not to have, the minister once came there when we were doing the budget. He comes there with two women, parades them, you know, is like, look, this is what we've done. It's you know, and puts it in the positive. Those things ought not to be happening. But they are possible, they can happen, and they will happen, because you know that Ekuruleni is Dulas, as you say. Dulas meaning it's up for grabs. Anyone can just walk into that office and take whatever. That's the township talk, guy. Dulas, meaning something is just laying bare for anyone to grab it. So our documents are sitting there, laying bare. And then we come here, have a conversation, like these things are not directly impacting on people. So Jefferson, I'm trying to say, let us bring it close to the lived experience of our people, as opposed to subjecting it to a high level of numbers. So the narration, it doesn't matter. If the document will be big, that's fine. That's our duty to go through it and sift through it, right? If it means we need a longer city of 3 days or even weekend when we can deal with this, that's fine, let's do that. But let us be a committee that makes serious changes and speaks to names. So we must be that sort of efficient of going to the detail. So don't take it that these numbers are enough. They're not. And I can tell you now, even sitting here, if we were to, say, explain in different rooms, we would get different understandings. Because a report tells you. It should jump at you. Some things must be, you must like write it like you're writing for babies. Then we see the level of which you understand what you're talking about. But we can't have you comrades sitting here saying, you know, the office is not mended. You're right. Johannesburg ought to have CCTV cameras. Where the president passes all the way to Luthuli House, there's cameras. He passes maybe once a week. But you don't have cameras in one of the key points. So Chairperson, perhaps we should find a way to then take these comrades on, even with side business. If it means office by office, we have a target. They have target, we must have targets. We visit all these offices. If it's not possible to do it this year, by the end of our term, we ought to have visited these offices, spent a day in these offices, so that we have the lived experience of it. Not this publicity stunt of site visit, of we go there, you know, the photos are taken, and then we are paraded, or, you know, these comrades take us through, show us where they want. No, we must go in and do that work. So Chairperson, I would like to end there, but I also think that the question about the foreign nationals must be entertained at least by you, sir. I want to hear from that level that what do you think? Do you think that the functionality or lack thereof of this department has any direct contribution or indirect contribution to what is happening on the ground, particularly what is happening in Gauteng? And if there is any way through, you know, in the ways in which this department functions, is there any way that your department has contributed to what we are faced with? And if so, what do you think needs to happen to avert this? Okay. And I'm not solely leaving the problem with you. There's other problematic departments as well, but in this case, I think let us limit it to this one.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Mpambo. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Firstly, I'd like to appreciate the presentation from Gauteng. And once again, I think you would remember last week when we had the oversight, Chairperson, we indicated that we appreciated that oversight because it was quite an insightful oversight. It gave us an idea of what is actually happening in this department. I remember indicating to one of the DDGs that when I normally get complaints, sometimes in a day I get about 3 complaints per day, then I forward them to the DDG, and if it doesn't respond within 3 days, I send another one. Please respond to my below email and whatnot, because I did not understand the workload that you are actually faced with. So while we're touring the Department of Home Affairs offices, we actually realized what amount of work you are faced with daily. And we do commend the work that you are doing. But with that being said, I would also like to request the department to find a way that can actually enhance appetite to the officials to assist members of the community. Because I find that some of the cases that I'm dealing with, they're dating back as far back as 2017. Like your backlog issues, others are cases from 2018. Those are some of the issues that I'm actually dealing with, and I would like to appreciate the department. When I send through the queries, I get response at least within a week, but we have actually discussed with the DDG that he's going to send me an email indicating the turnaround time so that maybe we don't put too much pressure on him. And after we have sent the email to the DDG, then we can be able to get back to the client. We would say, we have sent the email, please wait for us. Within 5 days, we'll get back to you, within 10 days, depending on the time frame that we are actually going to agree upon. And we have our PLO that is assisting us to actually feed through these matters to the Department of Home Affairs. When I spoke to the DDG, maybe the acting DDG will actually raise this matter with him. He said there is an official that is should I say allocated to be receiving and attending to the emails from our PLO, and we will appreciate if he can actually reactivate that working relationship, because it will make our work a lot easier. Because at the moment, myself and my colleagues, I feel like we are also doing about 40% of administration on top of being members of parliament, because you'll be getting queries about unabridged birth certificate that was not given, a passport and whatnot, and you have to send the email. After 5 days, when the commitment gets back to you, I'm still waiting for the response, you must go back to the DDG and whatnot. So if they can just reactivate that that working relationship. With that being said, I have an issue that I have received from Umam Joyce CBC. I have sent an email to this effect as well, but I just thought it would be proper to actually raise this in this platform. She is from, I think, Yeovil, if I'm not mistaken. She applied for an ID number of years ago because she was sharing a date of birth with somebody. She was issued with a death certificate. And after that, it took a very long time before the department could actually get her alive again. And then she was finally given the ID document. And she's saying, while she was still fixing her issue, because it took many, many, many years, her husband applied for the child birth certificate and used, I don't know, incorrect date of birth. Now when she goes back to the Office of Department of Home Affairs to get that rectified, the husband has passed away. I don't know, somebody told him she must go and get a lawyer. When she called me, she was crying because the children are also trying to commit suicide and didn't know how we can actually get this matter resolved. I have referred the matter, and I'd appreciate if this matter can be treated with agency, if it's possible, give us feedback. And we need to try to assist members of the community before even the members of parliament actually intervening. Maybe use getting it right the first time. When they're in your offices, assist them, and then you know that they've gotten the assistance that they needed. While we were conducting the oversight at the Desmond Tutu Center in Pretoria, when we were doing the walkabout, I spoke to one of the people that were there to apply for the asylum. When I asked him why was he in the country to extend the asylum, because already he had a document, He said he had a family issue. He's born in a family, in a polygamous marriage. His father had four wives, and he's and 23 kids. He's the last born of the fourth wife. So after the father passed away, apparently they didn't have a good relationship in the family. So that is why he decided to leave his country. I think he said he was from Nigeria, if I'm not mistaken, to come into South Africa. So I want to know that the reason that he gave me, is it reason enough for somebody to actually apply for an asylum? If I can just get some direction from the department. And we saw the CCTV that you are referring to. When we were there with conducting the oversight with the security, we also saw one of your employees actually playing on his cell phone. I think he was on WhatsApp while we were there, and the client was sitting in front of him. We raised that issue when we were there, and we were promised to get a feedback the following day, which was last week, Friday. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if you have received that feedback. If you haven't, we would like the department to actually give us this feedback, maybe indicate when they're going to give it to us. Partnership. Oh, and I'd also like to acknowledge and commend the issue that you have indicated that you are already working with the Office of the Mayor to try and ensure that you get message to the community members, because that's a very, very important function, to be very honest with you. If information doesn't get out there to our people, they wouldn't know what they need to do. So I would like to commend that as well. No, I think I'm done, Chairperson. Thank you so much. Oh,
thank
sorry,
you.
Chairperson, okay. Before you move along, I wanted to go back to Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga, when we're talking about the issues of mobile vehicles, I remember I have asked Duguti, for how long has this mobile vehicle been inactive? And the issue of the missing docket, I understand that it's a missing docket, not from Home Affairs, but from the court. But my question is, if the court misses or misplaces a document, what do you do as a department? Do you say they have lost a document, then it's fine, the case can be withdrawn? You wait for them to let you know once they have found the document, or you report them maybe to the commissioner or to the minister, just for us to know that there is something that you are doing, that we have reported this case, there was a docket, but the docket is missing. As a result, this case is withdrawn. Because if we are not reporting these issues, people are going to keep getting away with such acts. And the issue of the lease agreement, I was not answered. The lease agreement in Secunda Center, I asked the question that you are leasing that place for 83,000 rands, and that office is just so tiny, tiny, tiny. I think I remember mentioning that. I wanted to know, what is the criteria you normally use to negotiate your rentals, if you have that information? And on your report, you have indicated that the person that you are leasing this office from does not have a BEE, is not complying with BEE. What is the SCM policy saying? Are you in compliance when you are actually leasing a building from somebody that doesn't comply with BEE? And then what are the corrective measures in that place? Another one, I think this one is also very important, the issue of learners documentation. We have many, many learners who are not documented. In the presentation from Mpumalanga, there was an indication that they are waiting for the minister. The issue was reported to the minister. I want to know that while you wait for the minister, what are you doing about it? Because while we were on recess, I conducted an oversight. I went to a few high schools in Ligwa and discovered that we have learners who are in class now in grade 12 who do not have any birth certificates. Then obviously it means they do not have ID documents. And the principals are so frustrated because they are saying the system is not going to be able to capture them if they do not have ID documents. So basically, they can sit in the class the whole year, write their exams, but those results are not going to be captured. So as a department, what are we doing to address that while we wait for the minister? Thank you.
Honourable Ross?
Chair, I think we're out of time, so I'm going to waive my right to speak, but I will reserve my right to send my last questions to the Secretary in writing.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I will give the Home Affairs team to respond in summary, then we'll work the summary and close the session. I'll start with Limpopo, if you have one response to it.
Thanks, Chair. And honorable members, we have two questions which were still outstanding. The first one related to the number of MS workers that we currently have. We have 18 deportation workers. That's basically what we use when we deport our illegal immigrants. The second one relates to the issue of exorbitant rental amount that we pay to our facilities that we are renting. Then I would like to enlighten the members that the process unfolds as follows. We are basically the end user on the Department of Public Works. What we does, we indicate the need that we have to say we need to have an office at a particular area. They go and source the space, but before they do that, they request us to confirm if we're funding or not. After that, they do the bidding processes, they negotiate with the landlord. Then we don't get involved in terms of the negotiating of the rental. But what we know is that what informs the rental amount is their locations, where those offices are currently located. There's more the suburb, or they develop the area, the higher the rate. And more importantly, in other areas, is the scarcity of people who actually bid for those office spaces. If you find yourself to have at least one and you don't have any landlord around, chances are the rental may be actually up. But the process unfolds as I've indicated. Thanks.
Thank you. Pumalanga.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Director of Finance from Limpopo has directly answered the question of the Honourable Member around the lease agreement for Secunda. But what I can indicate is that we have been looking for a bigger space. It is true that that office is very small, but we have been looking for a bigger space, and we are dependent on Public Works for them to identify that one that will be suitable for us. So we still await them to at least inform us that they've found new space that is conducive for us to occupy. And then with the issue of learners that are undocumented, the ones that I say we are awaiting the minister's intervention on are children of undocumented foreign nationals, those that are illegal in the country. But with South African children, we have this process of LRP. We are prioritizing them. We go to schools or even through emails to request for information on learners that are undocumented. There is a pro forma that we use where we need information about the learner so that we can be able to identify if this is a South African learner, and then we prioritize those. We invite them for screening, and then we take the process forward. So we are dealing or handling the issue of undocumented South African learners in schools. But the ones that we need the intervention of the minister on are undocumented learners of illegal foreign nationals that are in the country and are attending schools, because they also do not have no birth certificates. And then on the issue of Kijima employees, we do not have employees working for Kijima in the province. And then the targeting of black Africans when it comes to detention and deportation, we are not targeting them. It's just that they are in the majority. We are not targeting them. We just go and conduct operations. Those that will be found without documents, or those that will be found with fraudulent documents, then those are the ones that we deal with. But in the majority, we have Africans that not get deported. Thank you.
Okay, we must be closer to conclusion. Gauteng, if there's any response.
We have noted all the inputs made. I don't think, Chairperson, there is any particular question. The CBC, Lindiwe CBC, we are aware of that case, ma. I think that the DDG, who is not here, will be in a better position because the matter is in his office. As for the Desmond Tutu, the person who was using a cell phone, that is not, Desmond Tutu is reporting directly to head office. It does not report to Gauteng as a province, but of course the issue of use of cell phones is forever emphasized also in our offices. It's a matter of concern.
Thank you. Mr. William?
No, Chair. I was just going to respond to the issue of Kijima. Ms. Chilwane has responded to indicate that they are not employed by the department, but I just need to clarify it. The amount is actually 42 million, and they are rendering, Kijima staff is rendering desktop services or support services to our ports of entry. And the ports of entry don't report to a province. It reports to head office.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, colleagues, for the responses that you have just indicated. Honorable Pambo, there was an issue about the crisis regarding the situation in Johannesburg and Tshwane. I think we really have a challenge. We agree with the honorable members. For instance, the immigration branch has only around 700 immigration officers that deals with issues of inspectorate and so on. But the crisis on itself is not only the responsibility of Home Affairs. It's other departments as well, SAPS, Defence, that must take care of the borders, SARS, and so on. But I think even how we speak to people out there as leaders, it's also very much critical. Because you might be saying things that end up influencing people to do wrong things. We, as this collective, just need to make sure that we take care of our own space wherever we are, so that people are aware that if you are not illegal, you must just back and go. But that's very difficult, because some people claim that they've got more rights than others, and which is wrong. And so I would appeal that when we talk to people out there, they must know that the law is the law, everyone must abide by it. If you are illegal, you must go and fix your document, or you leave the country, simple as that. And the issue of the person, Honorable Kanyile, who had the issue of dead and alive, I think we have resolved that. We have allocated a person with a new ID number. However, the issue of the birth certificate, which is still a challenge, we have requested the unit that have investigating units to continue investigating that on what happened, because we don't just want to erase what the father has done with the birth certificate. We will definitely come back to the Honorable with a proper report as well as the recommendations. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable members and the team Home Affairs, thank you for coming to brief us. Your report will be subjected to the committee for reflection. Will obviously have to interact with both the minister and the DM and the DG. One of our responsibility as a committee is to make sure that our task of oversight, issues that are raised by the stakeholders yourself, are implemented. But want to take appreciation on the good work that you're doing as a department. Where there are limitations, we'll try to assist as the committee. The minister and the DM are MP, are members of of parliament. The work that they are doing within ourselves as parliament, and we must appreciate the continuous work that they are doing as a department. We take note of the various challenges that you are facing as a department, the pressures, financial pressures, and I think it's a matter that we'll take on as the committee. We have to interact with CETA. One area that I think the committee may need to pay more attention is CETA, Secretary. We may need to have a session with CETA. We'll continuously engage with the Minister and the DM and your team at the national level. Some of the issues which you are raising have been raised in the previous presentation by the Minister and the DM and the DG, which flag on provinces, and the limitations that are coming from your reports are flagged in terms of our going to do list. We'll just follow up with the Minister and the team. Other politics around the historical phase of how government has been working, you may need to leave them to the political parties, because you know that this country has come from far, post-1994. There were challenges that I think were inheriting as a system of government. And as we're trying to transform the system and society, there were obviously more politics around how we navigate out as government. So as the officials in the team, you must take consciously the issues that are being raised. But we are going to follow up in terms of the issues which are raised, even oversight in terms of the offices that have been raised there. We're going to continue to visit them. We went from oversight last week on Home Affairs. It is clear that there are a lot of challenges in terms of the workforce vis-a-vis the financial contribution that the government is putting on our human resources. We'll take note of all the issues that you've been raising, all the issues that members of the honorable members have raised, critical issues that we must take on and discuss on them as a committee. The committee will sit, reflect on the issues where we need to call the department. Both the minister, the DM, and the DG will have to summon them to on the key issues that you have identified from your reports. On that note, we thank all of you members of the honorable members for the contribution, the team Home Affairs for this deep detailed brief in terms of the provinces that are being invited. Thanks very much. The meeting is adjourned.